Original Folkworks, and I'm Hazel Kahn. Today, I welcome Aaron Schultz, Matatuck resident and editor of the online newspaper North Fork Patch, and she's also one of my interesting, energetic neighbors. You'll hear Aaron tell us how she came to live and work on the North Fork.
I'm originally from Michigan, born and raised. I was born in the Upper Peninsula. My father was superintendent of high schools, so I grew up superintendent's daughter my whole young life.
Was that an advantage?
It's better than being principal's daughter. But I was always, you know, sort of in that kind of frame of mind growing up, that I was something special, and it was a little bit harder to make friends. And we did move around quite a bit because of my father's job. And I don't know if just because he wasn't very good at it or that's just the nature of it, maybe a little bit of both. He was a real project kind of a guy, and he didn't like to play politics too much. And of course, being the superintendent of a school district, you're dealing with pretty much the lowest form of government with the school board. So he would come in and sort of build a new building or make the improvements he wanted to in that district. And usually about 4 years, he would have to move on. And so that's what we did. I moved every 3 or 4 years growing up all over Michigan. So I ended up going to undergrad at Michigan State in 1994. And I actually studied theater and journalism. So I was very interested in the arts and writing about the arts and being involved in sort of that whole thing. Took a lot of art history. I graduated in 1998, and I had always been a freelance writer from 18 onward. I not only, you know, studied journalism, I loved writing, you know, my whole life. I was always a writer, and I made a decent side living my whole adult life through freelance writing. No matter what I was interested in, that was one constant that I always did. And then I ended up graduating. I fell in love. I decided to pursue a relationship, and we were really into music. I ended up forming a band with him. We were based in the East Lansing area. And at the time, it was the late 90s. There was a few bands that were kind of breaking through, like the Verve Pipe. And, you know, this is before Kid Rock and the whole thing. But there was a scene there. So that was my focus. We both worked at a music store. I was still writing. And we had sort of this weekend warrior band. It was called Trailer Park Barbie. It was a lot of fun. I have no regrets at all. I sang and I played bass. And he was the guitar player. And we did covers, originals, you know, the whole thing. So I kind of threw myself into that world for years, really. Probably 7 or 8 years. Up until the point where I became 26, 27 years old. By that time, Kid Rock was sort of the Michigan rock star scene. And he was dating Sheryl Crow. But I remember I was backstage at a Kid Rock concert. And I was trying to do something here to try to make some sort of connection. And I kind of looked at the whole scene, what they did kind of day in and day out, and, you know, all the young girls, groupies back there, and just hanging on him. And I just looked at myself, and I'm like, I'm too old.
So it was like an epiphany you had?
A little bit. I was like, I'm a little bit too old right now to really go full force into sort of the pop rock. And by that time, my long-term man and I had, you know, we just weren't working out anymore. I wanted to move on. He wanted to stay, and he still plays in a weekend cover band to this day.
Do you have contact with him?
Oh, yeah. He sends me pictures and tries to make me jealous. Like, haha, I'm having fun, you're not. But I am having fun. I just decided I spent the next year and a half or so just really thinking about, you know, pursuing writing and really jumping in full time, which I never did before. I never even thought about it. I was just like 3 or 4 articles a week for whatever publications, and I'd get, you know, my extra $250 or more for the week. But it's one of those things, like, you sit back, you're at a crossroads in your life, and you look at what you have, you know what I mean? And what you have been doing. And so I sat there and I went through, like, all the articles I really, really put a lot of work into for not much money.
What kind of things did you write about?
Obviously, music. I would profile every band that would come through, and Michigan State had a big concert, a couple of big concert venues at the time. I would try to get the big names. I would always be interviewing the bar bands that would try to be up and coming. Always stuff coming out of campus. And then I really latched on to the weekly publications that the daily paper was putting out, the Lansing State Journal. And one of the editors there really latched on to me, and I was almost a full-time freelancer when I started to really think about it. And I'd write about everything from, I'd do these big exposés on, you know, why do women cheat? Like, I'd find six women in the area who wanted to tell me what their motivation was for cheating on their husband. And they would. And that's another amazing thing about, you know, being a journalist and sort of putting yourself out there professionally to the point where people just, you're a stranger and people tell you these things. So I got into the lifestyle pieces, some of the bigger, you know, higher profile bands, always the arts. And a lot of those pieces I saved, I framed, and that those pieces ended up getting me into Columbia J School. I was basically a full-time bartender for about, I'd say, 5 months or so.
In Manhattan?
No, this was still in Lansing when I was trying to get it all together. When I had it in my mind, I wanted to go back to school and get my master's degree. And I think it's kind of typical, or it was kind of typical, for somebody my age. I had just turned 30.
And you, and how old are you now?
I'm 36. Mm-hmm. So here we are, you know, I misspent my youthful 20s. Not really.
No.
But I did what I wanted to do, and had a good time, had a good relationship. And I think it was just one of those things, oh my God, you know, I'm 30. The digits changed. And that was a very big deal for me. But luckily, I was already on this mental, soul-searching path. Go back to school, Aaron. You enjoy it. Even if you don't get anything on it, you know, go back, put yourself in a different world. You need to change. And I heard back from them fairly quickly, probably 2 months later, saying I had to really start making plans quickly because I had to find a place to live, you know, think about housing issues, and just think about leaving.
Had you been to Manhattan before?
I had never, ever been to New York City. I'd thought about it, but I was so busy. But it was always kind of a dream. It's always a dream for Midwesterners who have never been there, and all we see is movies, you know, in the mean streets. Mm-hmm. But I wasn't intimidated. I wasn't really intimidated. I was like, you know, they want me here. I obviously have something I can give them, and vice versa.
So it was a 10-month program.
10 months.
And then when that finished, what did you stay on in Manhattan, in New York City, or did you?
I was looking at Columbia's website with their career services. The second job I applied for was at a place called the Suffolk Times. And the editor, Denise Civiletti, at the time, had posted it. I think she was looking for, you know, for some Columbia blood in there, I guess. And so I applied. I remember I applied, you know, electronically via email on a Friday afternoon. And I was, you know, getting ready to go out and just, you know, relax. And it was 45 minutes later, Denise gives me a call. And it's a 631 number. And I'm in Lansing, Michigan. And she goes, oh, hi, can you come out for an interview on Monday? Because I think she thought I was still in New York. And I said, can I come out maybe next Friday? I said, I'm in Lansing, Michigan. And she's like, oh, yeah, okay. And so, yeah, I flew out.
And so what year was this?
This was, I believe it was early June of 2008, because I graduated Columbia in May of 2008.
So about 4 years ago, four and a bit years ago.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And so I was like, okay, because, you know, I would daydream about this area when I was going to school. I love maps. And when I'd, you know, kind of just need a second to diffuse in between all the craziness of Columbia and everything, mm-hmm. I'd sit at my favorite little dive bar or coffee shop or whatever, and it'd be late at night, and I'd go and I'd look at Long Island on Google Maps. And I'd go all the way out and all the way out and all the way out. And the North Fork, and then, of course, Montauk, Block Island, and then I'd look at the North Fork, and I would see brown. Yeah. I'm like, really? This is Long Island. You know, it's all agricultural. So even before I came out here, I was always kind of curious of what was out on the East End. And I took the train from Penn Station all the way out. I started really early in the morning, I took it all the way out to the North Fork, and I swear I remember just almost the air changing once you hit the North Fork. You know what I mean? It's almost like you're in Florida or something. All of a sudden the woods start popping up and, you know, here you are. I walked from the Mattituck station to the Suffolk Times, had my interview. It was 4 hours long. And, you know, I wanted to get out of there, but then, you know, I had to go through the whole thing, and I knew I had the job. We ended up, you know, making a deal. I went back home and packed everything up. And
so you started working more or less straight away after that summer?
Yeah, mm-hmm. probably 2 weeks after that, or maybe even less. Mm-hmm. I was ready to go. I was ready to relocate. And here was my opportunity as a staff writer. It's a nice-looking community weekly. That's what I wanted. You know, I wanted to really dig in, find the stories, and do that full time. Yeah. I was there for almost exactly 2 years. Patch is owned by AOL at the moment. It was started about 5 or 6 years ago now in some test sites in New Jersey, and those sites are still around. When I hired in, and the reason it was very appealing to me is I'm looking at being the editor of basically my own website, which is the natural next step, you know, after 2 years as a staff writer. And I'm here, and I live in Mattituck, and I know the community. I didn't really know too much about Patch when it came along out here, but by the time it did hit the North Fork, it was already all over Long Island. Riverhead and North Fork launched September 24th of 2010. And after that, all of the South Fork, Southampton, West Hampton, Bays, Hampton Beach, East Hampton.
Oh, I didn't realize
Shelter
that.
Island is part of North Fork Patch. Mm-hmm.
What exactly is your brief, if you will? What is it that Patch, North Fork Patch, is for?
It's a community news website, community/community hub for everything that's going on. We only operate on the internet. There is no Patch newsletter. There is no Patch paper. It's only on the internet, and that was the concept from the get-go.
For all of the patches.
For all of it.
All
just,
of the patches
just
always, yeah.
Community news, everything that you would find in a, you know, traditional weekly, only on the internet. We're hooked into social media, Facebook, Twitter, big time. We try to be as current as possible, you know, in that regard. So we are the North Fork Daily, really. Very, very daily.
And sometimes more than daily. I mean, if there's a car crash or something, the first thing people do is go and look at
absolutely.
Patch, you know.
And, you know, we just have that capability. We all of us editors work remotely. Everybody does. There is no office. There's no East End office. There's no North Fork office besides my living room at home. But in that regard, you know, yesterday there was that crazy car crash at the Hess station in Mattituck. I get alerts for that sort of thing. We also have police and fire scanners. So many ways to alert me so instantaneously that I'm there. As the local editor, I do most of the writing reporting. We have had freelancers in the past. Right now, we're not using freelancers because, especially with the East End, you know, as far as I'm concerned with Connecticut, I work pretty closely with New London. At least once a month, I'm collaborating on something with him. Because of Plum Island, you know, Little Gull Island was just up for sale. When Amanda Clark made her sailing run at the Olympics, she graduated from a university in Connecticut. So New London and I think a couple other Connecticut patches we were all following that together. So that's the other neat thing about Patch is that we're not isolated anymore. The community newspaper is now able to reach out very easily
to other community newspapers as well. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah.
Yeah.
To other Patch sites.
Yeah, yeah.
If you just go on patch.com. Yeah. Okay, so if you just go on patch.com and you have the whole map of the US and you see the East Coast is completely saturated from Maine, New Hampshire down to probably 50, it looks like, if not more.
In Connecticut?
Uh-huh. This is all Connecticut.
Oh,
patches.
Okay. So, all right. So people can do that then.
Absolutely.
We don't need to do that right now. So, I mean, they're all Patch. They're all under the Patch umbrella in some sense, but yet each one is different.
Erin Schultz, editor of North Fork Patch, is talking about her life and work on the North Fork. This is WPKN Radio.
So talk about how the North Fork, as reflected in Patch, I mean, if you were at some other Patch, how would you look at North Fork? What it represents, what it reflects?
Well, North Fork Patch is obviously a special patch. Number one, it's one of the largest, geographically speaking, patch areas in the country, just because it's so spread out population-wise, and that's kind of the way they, you know, they wanted it. North Fork, it's Aquabog to Orient Point and Shelter Island. Same with East Hampton Patch, that's a huge area. And I think, you know, if I was in Soyasset or something, or one of these more urban patch sites, I would be looking at North Fork Patch a lot. And I think a lot of people from up the island, and this, I know for a fact a lot of people from Brooklyn are constantly looking at it, because I look at my Facebook analytics. We have a huge Brooklyn audience, and I think it's because they come out here. You know, it's still the summer people, and they're looking and they're kind of daydreaming about living out here. Just because I know that, and I also know, you know, you have to write to that audience, but you also have to write to the people who are who live here and want to know about the yellow bags and policy in Southold Town, and you know what the trustees are doing as far as, you know, their policies towards bulkhead repairs and some of these things that people who are interested in coming out and drinking wine will just skip over. So there's that sort of dichotomy, especially with North Fork Patch. I would say with any, you know, touristy area.
Mm-hmm. But is there something about North Fork people that makes them different from, say, South Fork people or Manhattan people? Or
not only from my experience, but, you know, people, a lot of people I've spoken to and interviewed, there's a real sincerity about people on the North Fork, and it goes beyond even like a small town kind of a thing. It's a real, and the longer I live here, it's a real sense of community. As spread out as it is, I mean, you look at how devastated everybody was when John Romanelli died. John Romanelli, he was the president of Burt's Reliable Oil Company in Southold.
He delivered oil to people's houses, his company.
Yes.
Supplied households with oil.
And he was just such a visible, well-known, well-loved, brilliant businessman. He was out there with commercials and funny guy, and 47 years old, he died in the, you know, a tragic fire having to do with the fuel hose. And being in my position, first of all, having to absorb that, it's really beyond comprehension, and then you have to write about it, you know. But
because you knew him, did you?
I actually never met him. Mm-hmm. I knew of him, and I'm sure he knew of me, just because the nature of both our jobs. But
you took it personally, because somehow.
I did, because I'm a member of this community, and I think, you know, I'm getting choked up just thinking about it, and I think everybody felt the same way. Absolutely everybody. So something like, you know, in that instant, I think North Fork Patch is really important to be there, especially as a community forum. It goes beyond reporting the news, and once, you know, that just that initial story hit, just even when the fact that, you know, he was injured, the community, you know, hundreds of comments on those articles, and they're still there. And, you know, it's something like that is a reflection of the people that live out here, to me. And that's, you know, probably the most tragic example of the nature of people. But, you know, also this weekend is something called Shellebration. It's happening in Greenport. And this is, you know, it's a celebration of seafood and shellfish and life out here. You know, we're surrounded by shellfish. We're surrounded by water and wine. They're gonna have wine tastings and pairings, and they're gonna have it downtown. They're gonna try to boost businesses.
So these are business activities, but they're also somehow, how would you say, integrated into local consciousness, feeling, pride.
Absolutely, pride. Pride's a good word. Pride's a very good word. Because this is such a unique spot. It goes beyond, you know, having a bungalow on the ocean in the Hamptons. It's you have so many different sort of rustic, real real life things, and here on the North Fork, and I try to just be there for it. I guess that's maybe how I like to do my job. Mm-hmm. I don't like to, as a journalist, I don't like to, you know, quote unquote, create controversy so people will hit on an article. You're more attractive and people are going to hit on you, hit on your articles more if you are just as sincere as them and try to just be there to reflect really what goes on day to day.
Which is interesting what you're saying, because you seem to feel as if you are part of this pride and this local feeling. And yet, A, you're a journalist and people are suspicious of the media often.
Yeah.
And B, you're from the outside. You've only been here a short amount of time compared to people who are seventh generation North Fork natives.
Right. I seem to fit in here pretty quickly. I mean, I got that feeling. Maybe it is part of my Midwest upbringing. And a part of the reason why I love it out here so much is because of the coastal feeling, the beaches, I grew up as a kid actually on Lake Superior, and the terrain is so much like that. It's the rocky, the pebbly beaches, you know, it's not a glamour gig out here.
No. What kind of connection do you have with, say, the Latino community, which is, I have no idea what size it is, but it certainly feels very present, pervasive. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of Latinos living on the North Fork. Do you have a connection to them? Are you planning any?
I mean, we're always following immigrant issues on a governmental level. The thing that I've found just since moving out here and, you know, at the Suffolk Times and at Patch, it's just very difficult to really get in there and do a real people kind of piece.
I guess I'd like to know how working on Patch has changed you.
Hmm.
And I can't really ask you how you've changed Patch, because you basically started it. To what extent, you know, you've left your imprimatur or your stamp on it.
I'm kind of infamous for working too much.
Yeah.
Since I started Patch. And that's kind of everybody who has been involved in launching something like this from absolute scratch, which we did. When we first, you know, before we went live, I spent 3 months going around taking pictures of everything. Businesses, churches, schools, parks, beaches, anything that could be in our directory. So we had to build up this directory, not only of businesses, but everything. And it was brutal. Sorry, Patch. But
the idea was for you to build up the directory and at the same time to familiarize yourself, because you'd lived here for a couple of years, but
right.
It still wasn't.
And just in the whole, and another point about this hub, Patch, this site, the directory is pretty important because it's up to date. It's the first real comprehensive up to date internet directory for one community. So, you know, these pictures, they're getting a couple years old now, but there's nothing else out there like it. It's pretty cool. And as I work back now as the journalist and the editor, I see how important it really is, because I'm always linking back to, you know, with fire district elections coming up this week. All those listings of the fire departments, all those little pictures I took, you know, it's important. It's very, very kind of the fabric of the community. How has it changed me? I feel like it's made me more of part of the fabric of the community. And I can't even think about moving. Not at this point. I just feel like it's changed me to the point where I feel like I'm an integral part of the community. People trust me. And I see that more and more people are coming to me. You know, I don't even have to leave my house if I didn't want to.
You mean to give you stories?
To give me stories, to let me know what's going on. Whereas 2.5 years ago, I was pulling teeth to get people to take me seriously.
I think one of the interesting things about Patch is the idea that people can have blogs on Patch.
The blog section we launched about a year after we went live. And it's just become this fantastic portal for anybody and everybody.
Can you talk about how many there are? You're not allowed to say that either.
How many? No, we have...
I mean, I know I have a blog on Patch.
Yeah, Hazel.
A WPKN blog.
WPKN used to have a blog. We need to do some more blogs.
Yeah,
no, we had you. I mean, we have radio. We have people in the media who are.
I think Howard using Thompson our blog. Has one, doesn't he?
Howard Thompson. I haven't heard from him in a while, but yeah,
he had some though.
He's usually weekly. He has a top 20 playlist that he'll plug his own internet radio station.
And he put it on Patch.
We'll put it on Patch. Okay. And you know, every blog, like every story, I promote. Through
it's
social
not just
media.
His internet radio station. He's on WPKN on Fridays, every Friday.
Oh, no. I think he was mentioning that
in
his blog. So there's, I mean, the potential for cross-promotion in all our various medias out here is there with that. Medical professionals use it when they have advice, you know, to give. We have a lot of sort of environmentalists who are always talking about whatever they want, you know. We have a CPA who's talking about
taxes
and stuff.
can you have any political blogs? Can
absolutely.
Their political.
Tim Bishop, Randy Altshuler were at it during the height of everything. Dan LaSquadro used it a few times. Absolutely. I'm still trying to get the town of Southold to use it. I think, you know, more locals and especially on the local government level are seeing the role that we play. For the community.
So what, Ian, what is the role that you play? What role does Patch play on the North Fork?
I think Patch is not only providing the hard news very currently, up to the minute, but we've also updated the whole landscape virtually. Thousands of pictures of this place that's easily referenceable. I wake up, you know, it's between 6 and 6:30 every morning, and the conversation is already happening every single day. In comments, on, you know, in blogs. I actually start with email every morning, just digging through emails. It's such a hub for communication, not only for locals, but for those who are looking from the outside at what's going on.
And for visitors and so on.
And for visitors.
If people want to know how to get onto North Fork Patch, what do they do?
Sure. It's, our address is North Fork, one word, .patch.com. So it's northfork.patch.com. My name is Erin Schultz, and I'm the editor. My email is Erin, E-R-I-N-S, as in Sam, @patch.com. I'm constantly available on email. And once you're on the site, if you sign up as a user, which is all the content is free, to sign up is free, you can then start participating, you know, leaving comments. You can sign up as a blogger yourself. It has to be approved by me before you go live.
But also every post, I think you approve.
Everything that's posted gets edited. We're still professional. You can sign up as a blogger. You can start commenting. You can also sign up for our email newsletter. It's a daily newsletter that it pops right into your inbox once you sign up early every morning.
All right. Well, great. Thank you very much, Erin. Thank you very much. And I'll see you around.
All right. Thank you.
That was Erin Schultz, editor of North Fork Patch and resident of Mattituck. This is North Fork Works. North Fork Works is heard on the first Wednesday of every month at 7:30 p.m. right here on WPKN Bridgeport, 89.5 FM, streaming and archived on WPKN.org. Earlier North Fork Works programs are available on hazelkahn.com, and are produced by Tony Ernst.